Well, guys, it's happening. Yes, the consolidation of power, taking away the small guys and consolidating the power at the national level. Over the weekend, we saw more movement now along these smaller bank lines, these smaller community banks, and the breaking up of Silicon Valley Bank and the spreading of this bank bailout into Europe. So what's going on here? Well, a couple of moving pieces, because it's been like a crazy two pots of coffee kind of a weekend to follow what's happening in the banking sector. Normally, the banks shut down on Friday night at 5 o'clock, right? They're done. No. All weekend, they've been scrambling across Europe to figure out what they're going to do with Credit Suisse. Now it looks like the Swiss National Bank is going to jump in and offer about $100 billion of liquidity. And while it's going to be sold off for about $2 billion, so all these people losing their deposits inside of the Credit Suisse, unbelievable disaster hitting Europe. Silicon Valley Bank in the United States, now we're learning, is going to be broken up and sold off into multiple pieces. We don't still know how that's all going to come together. And the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, admitting that, hey, you know, your small local bank, like, will the FDIC step in and protect those little guys, you know, the little community banks and your credit unions? And she says, no. And that's not going to happen. She said, I would have to sign off on it, and the FDIC board would also have to sign off on it. And that's just not going to happen. Yeah. So what does that tell you? Yeah, the big boys will bail those out and will consolidate them. The federal government will take over control of them through the FDIC. But all those small little banks, no. We've been trying to get rid of them for a long time. We want to consolidate power. We want to move to a central bank digital currency. We want to move away from cash and the U.S. dollar. We want to move to a digital dollar in the United States. This is incredibly troubling as the continued decline of the U.S. dollar is happening right in front of our faces right now. And it's really a tale of two different things right now, bailouts and bail-ins. So in the United States, we're happy to throw into these banks billions of fake printed money that the Federal Reserve is literally creating out of thin air. We don't have it. We've never had it. It doesn't actually exist. The federal government just prints fake money and sends it wherever we need to. The bailout now in 2023 is larger than in 2008, okay? Just and adjusted for inflation, the current bailout of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank is larger than the 2008 banking collapse and the mortgage collapse. Think about that for a second, but they don't even want to call it a bailout. They're lying to you about it. And in Europe, all of those depositors at Credit Suisse, you know, they're going to get a fraction of what they've deposited, about a quarter, 0.25, which is better than 0%. So they're, you know, they're going to use the money that's in those banks to bail in and save the banks. We are facing a banking disaster right now. So I sure hope that you've got money put into real assets, real tangible things, again, like real estate, gold, silver, precious metals, you know, crypto, if you're into that, right? But real tangible things right now that are a hedge against this craziness, because I'm telling you, the disaster continues to unfold. So let's talk about housing for a second, and then we're going to get to some of your questions here, some of your questions, which I will attempt to answer. You can leave us some voicemail questions by going to our website at morrisinvest.com. So on the housing front, we're now getting an assessment of how bad things were in 2008, that bubble that was really never fully allowed to pop. And the federal government, the Federal Reserve, stepped in, bought all of these mortgage-backed securities. They added those crappy things to their balance sheets, right? In many ways, pushing up and sort of artificially inflating the housing market in a lot of bubble areas, Vegas, San Francisco, a lot of the coastal cities and so forth. Not the areas that I invest in, but largely and really inflated those prices in a lot of those areas. And of course, kept artificially low the interest rates. So interest rates really, really low. And then on top of all of that, you had the pent-up demand. So the pent-up demand for housing. Now, the silver lining in all of this in housing right now is that the demand is off the charts. We need houses like you wouldn't believe. If that wasn't the case, we could be in for a housing disaster. So you have the, you know, you have the federal government stepping in and really artificially creating this bubble that could be bursting if we didn't have the demand. So as that demand continues, and it's running away from us right now, we just need housing in a way that we've never seen before, that has really kept us from any kind of bubble explosion, any problems in a lot of these different markets, because the demand is still there. If you take out the amount of mortgages that the Federal Reserve bought, put on their balance sheet, if you take that out, because they drove up home prices by about 41%, if you take that out, if you would remove the mortgage-backed security purchases, actually home prices would have declined. So the Fed has artificially propped up housing in a lot of different areas across the country. That's why you need to be really smart and study your demographics before you invest. Make sure you understand like what's driving the appreciation in a market, what's driving the, you know, the demand for housing in a particular town. Where I like to invest, you know, are there a lot of jobs coming in? Well, there you need housing. Is crime low? Are we seeing an influx of new highways being built, the demand for homes because the school's expanding, et cetera? Like all of these demographic data pieces I want to be studying and making sure that I'm being smart about where I'm investing, because you're seeing, again, the effects of the Federal Reserve monkeying a lot of this data and a lot of these different sectors, from housing to the banking sector, to pensions. The list is pretty much endless right now, the amount of fake money that's being kept and flooded into the U.S. economy. So buyer beware. Now, we're going to see the craziness of Credit Suisse unfolding this week. So my head is spinning, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of craziness this weekend, and it's hard to keep on top of it. Literally, as I get data points coming in about Credit Suisse, 5 minutes later, it's changing. And the same thing is true about Silicon Valley Bank in the United States. So please make sure you're being safe and smart about your investing right now and doing your homework before you do anything right now. All right, let's get into some of your questions today and see what if we can answer some of your real estate or tax related questions here on the show. Our first question comes to us from John.
Clayton, what is your level of concern about investing across the board if we continue to have this hyperinflation and the dollar gets more worthless by the day, and in respect to the government maybe going to the central bank digital currency, which is I think something that they're going to use as a fail safe when the currency gets to the point where it's basically worthless.
Well, thanks, John. I mean, look, I don't want to have my family's future tied to the U.S. dollar, right? I don't want to have my money tied to central bank digital currency, U.S. dollar. So personally, I want to, we were just having a conversation with my mother-in-law. My kids were asking her, she's here visiting, and they were asking her like, Grandma, are you retired? Because we were talking about retirement. And they said, you know, what is retirement? I'm like, well, when you no longer need to work, you don't want to work anymore. You've worked enough and you've, you know, made smart investments and moves, so you don't need to work anymore. And so my mother-in-law said, you know, I now have real estate investments and I have cash flow from my real estate investments. And that's how I live. And she works on that. You know, she checks in and deals with her investments, but she doesn't work day to day anymore. She used to work every day in a title company. She doesn't anymore. She retired. And so because she has those tangible assets, she has that cash flow that she's able to use and to, you know, as the, yes, it's US dollars, right? So the cash flow is US dollars. Then she's buying gold and she's buying precious metals with that cash flow and really setting herself up securely. So how do I feel about it? Look, you know, I want to make sure that I've got tangible assets, right? I want to make sure that I'm owning real things like real estate, gold, silver, things that have sustained for thousands of years. I'm a student of history, John, and all I can tell you is that for 5,000 years, real estate, gold, and silver have survived at all. So why would I bet against that? If I want to protect my family right now, which I'm doing, I'm buying gold, I'm buying real estate, I'm buying silver. Those are the three things that I own. And I have a little bit of Bitcoin. But for me, where I'm taking and converting my US dollars is into those things, into those items. So I will always feel good about it. Again, the track record is pretty darn good, right? Through failed governments, wars, famines, floods, you name it, real estate, gold, and silver have sustained, okay? And yes, precious art. You could throw in precious artwork into that mix. I'm just not an artwork guy, you know? Like, I appreciate it, but I don't know the first thing about buying precious art. You know, I'm not going out and buying Picassos at this point. Now, there are companies that allow you to buy fractional ownership of things like that. But again, that's not my bag necessarily. Okay. So what I bet on are the things that have worked in the past. And I think right now, as Peter Schiff has been pointing out about gold prices up 2%, again, they continue to go up. The appreciation is great, but I'm buying these things because it's a hedge against inflation and it's a hedge against this, you know, a flooding of the market of like fake currency right now, where you know, gold, silver, and real estate is not fake. It's real. You can't fake it, you know, and you can't print more houses. They can try, but they can't do it. So that's how I feel about it, John. I you know, unless someone proves me wrong with real estate and gold and silver, then, you know, show me that I'm wrong with that, or show me that history is wrong, and then I'll make a change. But that's the way I'm going with it right now, John. All right, next question.
Hey, Clayton, Marcus here. I am a new fix and flip investor that currently closed on my first property back in November. Rehab will hopefully be completed by mid-February. The absolute last day to pay back the hard money loan is April 15th. To put a little context before I ask my question, I'm all in about $200K with the best case ARV of 245. My question to you is, if I am not able to close on the loan and sell the property in time to pay back the hard money, what options do I have? I am working with minimum cash reserve as I leverage a lot of debt to bring this deal to the table. I don't think a DSCR would work, or even a cash out refi. It just doesn't seem like, you know, obviously enough meat on the bone with that ARV. So any help is possible. I'm not quite in panic mode, but it's quickly approaching. Thanks for everything. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you.
Hey, Marcus, and you have bigger cojones than I do, because I was, you know, never been a fixer flip guy, because again, these are the things that happen in the market. So, you know, we see, right, you have back in November when you get the project under contract, you're ready to rock and roll on it, right? And then what happens in the beginning of March, you have this crazy banking crisis, right? And everything kind of shifts on you. And those are the things you really can't predict, right, when you're in a fix and flip model. So I know you probably called in a few weeks ago. I hope everything is okay right now with this banking situation. My first suggestion, again, I'm not a financial advisor, but what I would do is, if I felt like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to sell this home, but there's no reason. I mean, if the numbers make sense, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to sell this home. First of all, right? April is the best time to sell a home. April market, because the school year is starting to wrap up. People are wanting to figure out where they're going to move. They want to move over the summer. They want to start a new school year. They don't want to move in September. So April is the number one. April and May, two best times to sell a home. So if you can't sell it now at your number, then something's definitely wrong in the economy. Obviously, we're seeing interest rates tricking up to, you know, 6-7%. So that can really hinder your ability to get moving on this. But look, at the end of the day, I would go back. What I would do is, if you have a hard money lender, go and talk to them and maybe renegotiate with them a little bit. Say, look, I might need, you know, some more time here, and talk to them about extending the life of your loan for a little bit longer, given the market situation, or figure out some sort of a condition where you could maybe even, you know, rent out the property. Or there's always a way to make something happen in real estate. Okay. There's never, like, if someone just gives you like a no for an answer, there's always a way to renegotiate something. Okay. Maybe even finding another lender who's willing to absorb that loan, and maybe even tack on an extra percentage point on top of it to give you another 6 months of breathing room. There's always, always, always a way. What I love about real estate investing, I've done thousands of deals. There's so many creative ways to massage these things and to help you out. So do not take no for an answer in this situation. You should be able to figure something out. I would really just make sure that I would have, you know, a really good real estate agent. Okay. Find the best real estate agent that's going to get this house sold. It's new construction, or you've totally renovated this house. Hopefully it's in a great area. You've done your homework on it, on the after repair value. It looks like you're probably going for a first time home buyer. So the first time home buyer situation is going to be difficult, because first time home buyers now are being priced out because of these interest rates. So you're probably going to be in competition with a lot of baby boomers who are going to want this property. Maybe baby boomers who were waiting on finding a right house to move out of a city area or move into a different area. That's what happened during the pandemic. A lot of baby boomers were sitting on cash, and first-time homebuyers didn't have the cash. And so baby boomers were able to make these big purchases and move in on them. And again, first-time homebuyer millennials are being squeezed out again because of interest rates. So Let's see here over the next few weeks what happens with these interest rates and this banking crisis that we're in right now. Because if the Fed looks like they're not going to increase rates this week, we'll know on Wednesday what their plan is here. If they're going to raise it another 25 basis points, then that could be really bad. But I think what Wall Street is really hoping is they're not going to raise interest rates at all. Perhaps maybe even for the rest of the year now, which would be great news for you, Marcus. So again, find an aggressive real estate agent. Find the best, okay? The one that's on the park benches and all of it. Like, find the best. And even if you have to lower it a little bit, you don't want to be sitting on this capital. You don't want to be sitting on this. Even if you have to lower your price a little bit to get out of this deal, then just chalk it up to, you made less profit than you wanted, but it's a learning experience. And maybe finding a little bit more meat on the bone, or moving up into like maybe the higher priced value home next time. So you're not playing around in that first time home buyer market, which can be a little tricky because now you're at the mercy of these interest rates. So anyway, I hope that helps. Would definitely find out about if I could renegotiate part of this loan with the person you got it from in the first place. Find an aggressive real estate agent who's really going to market the heck out of this property, and find out, where you're going to be, where the sweet spot is on these interest rates, to try to get to lure in some of these first-time home buyers. That's the thing. It's like I'm just praying right now that these first-time home buyers can swoop in and buy your property, because that's your market right now. That's that price point is going to be the first-time home buyer market. Also, could you buy it and convert it into a rental property? This is another situation to think about, Marcus. This is what I would do. Also, that seems to me, if the numbers make sense, could you rent it out? Could you rent it out for a while and cover this mortgage payment to get this thing back on your right side here if you're able to negotiate a longer term a mortgage on the property? My mind's racing with all sorts of ideas, but hopefully there's a few to get you started in this. That's the thing with real estate. There's so many different options and strategies with this. All right, our next question.
Hi, Clayton. Just a very quick question. I'm new on investment. And platform would you recommend to use to buy stocks from? And I have to say, massive, massive appreciation to you and to your wife, Natalie, for the job you do, for awakening people and to telling just truth and the truth only. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I think, as far as stocks go, I use an account in the United States called E-Trade. I've been using them for years. I don't know if they're the best or not, but the reason I use them is because they're an actual brokerage. And if I want to trade some smaller junior producers, some smaller gold producers and things like that, I can do that with an E-Trade. With a company like Robinhood, what they'll do is when you make a trade, they will sell your information. Right? They will sell your information to brokers who will then basically front run your trade. So that's how Robinhood makes their money. If you're going to buy a couple thousand shares of a company, well, they will sell that information a few milliseconds before your trade is complete. They'll sell it to market makers. And those other individuals can decide what they're going to do by either buying lower or so they're able to use that data to their advantage. That's how Robinhood makes their money, right? So I'm not a fan of that. I prefer to use one of the larger brokerages because I like to buy some of these smaller junior producers. That's my personal preference. And you can't do that on a Robinhood and one of those apps basically. Again, I use E-Trade personally. That's what I use. And I don't own a lot of stocks at all. I own very sort of strategic portfolio of people that are commodities companies that, are pulling oil out of the ground, natural gas out of the ground, gold, silver, precious minerals. Those are the companies that I invest in. I don't own like Coca-Cola and things like that. So, and again, I use E-Trade is what I use. But I should come back to the point that my main investments are real estate and precious metals. So I just hope I want to drive that point home to you. That yes, I have a small portion of our portfolio in some of these, commodities based companies, but not a huge portion of my portfolio. So thank you so much for that question. Thanks for your kindness. Thanks for leaving any voicemail questions you want to on our website. If you go to morrisinvest.com, click on the microphone icon on the right-hand side of your screen. That's way you can leave us a voicemail question. And if you're ready to book a call with our team, we are a full-service rental real estate company where we'll help you get started investing in real estate. We build new construction properties from the ground up with our team. And, you know, you don't have to do anything. You can be our team, you know, the property management teams that we work with manage the properties for you. We'll take it through and carry it from soup to nuts. So you can just make a smart investment. And then the concierge team will take care of the rest. So if you're interested in that, go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the book a call button and book a call with our team right now. Until next time, everyone, go out there, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to protect and preserve your wealth. We'll see you next time.